Hello.
Hello, Julian. It's John Frame here from Queer Radio on 4ZZZ.
Hello. Are you in Brisbane or something?
Yes.
You are. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm still recovering, actually, from Mardi Gras. I lost my voice in the car on the way down and croaked my way through the parade.
Oh, but, well, it might be quite attractive, a croaky voice.
I was told that, but it's really, it's not too reassuring. I felt infectious, which
really
isn't too desirable.
No. That was weeks ago, Mardi Gras.
It seems like it.
Yes.
So you're having a good time in Adelaide?
Well, I'm enjoying the shows and the sunshine. It's not my favourite place in the world.
Right, but you've got three shows there.
Yes.
Two more than Brisbane.
Yes, quite.
They must love you.
Adelaide, well, they were very sweet last night, and it's a nice theatre and everything. So all is well.
Right, I'm curious about your character. Like, when you actually hosted an excellent version, I thought, of the Mardi Gras on the ABC a couple of years ago, and some people, like, it's impossible to keep everybody happy, but some people who are a bit precious about the local people thought that your sardonic wit might have been a bit too sharp. And I was saying, well, this is Julian Clary in character. It wouldn't be Julian Clary as a nice person. Is there much of a difference between Julian Clary, you know, in and out of character?
Yes. I'm not. Are you? Is this on the radio, by the way?
It's not going live to air.
All right.
It'll be edited and then put on next Wednesday night.
Yes, I'm not very funny when I'm off duty. But the kind of things that I say when I am funny are a little bit cruel sometimes. But if no one told me I shouldn't be rude about anyone when I did the Mardi Gras commentary, so I didn't know any different. I was just doing what I do, and I thought if they were employed me, then that's what they'd want.
Yep.
But I think it's actually a mistake to get foreign people in to commentate on something that's so sort of Australian as the Mardi Gras. I think it's a better idea to have Australians do it, and they would understand better.
Yep. I know friends who saw you hobnobbing with Bob Down, actually outside the Paul Capps's performance on Friday night.
Yes, I know Mark quite well because he spends a lot of time in London.
Yep. I think Bob gets caught in the same situation where his character is, as character Bob Down, he's not very much aware of his sexuality. It just is. So
yes,
he probably doesn't exude positive homosexual comments as he really would like to.
Yes, I don't know what the answer is. Some terribly boring, all-purpose homosexual, I think. Keep everyone happy.
Right. So I'm assuming that you don't actually walk around with a label, really. You'd get called, like, homosexual, perhaps, you identify, but there's strong pressure at times in society, like the gay society, perhaps, to identify as gay or queer or bisexual. But I made the mistake when I was part of your media, like, meeting here in Brisbane 3 years ago, of commenting about Tom Robinson's, like, recent parenting occurrence and suggesting that his partner was a lesbian. And, of course, like, that was totally out of place. I've matured a bit since then.
I think I remember, actually. Did I go for you?
You were very polite. You just said, is she a lesbian? And that was the point. Mm. The thing is that people, gay men, can find that there's a woman in their life who's just the ideal partner, who's going to give them everything they want in terms of happiness, sexual desire, whatever. So, yeah, it's silly for some people to write themselves off from the parenting game just because they happen to prefer having sex with men.
Yes.
So you're actually including parenting in the new show.
Yes, well, I think it's something I'm quite interested in. I don't really know if I'm ever going to father a real child, but I can use the... I always feel I'm in quite a unique position because I can create my own shows and then go and do them around Australia or England or wherever. So I thought, well, I can pretend to have a baby. You know, I can have a baby in this fantasy world on stage and deal with it that way. And it's also quite an quite a good area for comedy, the idea of me being a father somehow. Mm. And the idea of someone who's sort of confirmed homosexual, the actual sort of ins and outs of how you would have a child if you do it in the conventional way or if you do it with a turkey baster.
Yeah.
So, and I think gay parenting is, you know, it's kind of interesting. Because I don't perform to gay audiences particularly or exclusively.
Yep.
And I play to a lot of young married couples, so they, you know, parenting is interesting for them as well.
True. Do you think there's, like, anything special that gay men or lesbians could bring to parenting because of their very nature?
Probably. I think you know, a new generation of the offspring of gay and lesbian people presumably would not have this sort of prejudice that comes from ignorance that other people might have. On the other hand, children notoriously rebel against their parents, and they could go to the other extreme, couldn't they?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's hard to generalise, I think. But I think if gay and lesbian people have children, then they obviously really want them. They've sort of, it's not an accident, as it may be for a lot of people, so therefore, a wanted child probably got more love and attention coming their way than an accidental child, perhaps.
Certainly. Yeah. I was curious, in your last show, one of the probably more confronting parts of the performance was where you talked about your first awareness of being gay. And I think you said that you were taking a bath sometime and you thought...
Yeah.
Okay, that, you know, what you really felt like was a big cock up your ass.
Yes, I used to enjoy saying that.
Yeah, because a lot of people, I'm sure, if they've always been heterosexual, just don't understand that someone could always be not heterosexual.
Yes, well, I think it's the nitty-gritty of gay sex that people have trouble with. It's the actual mechanics of it.
Yeah.
And I talk about sex a lot. I don't talk about love much in this show, but it's just saying cock up arse is kind of a relief, really, for me.
Yep.
And for everyone. It's what they're thinking, you know, it's what they're actually trying to imagine.
Mm.
So it's demystifying it in a way, and it's also just vulgar. I quite like it on that level.
Yeah, well, even with my mother actually has moved out to the front yard of the house here so that I can record this conversation
right.
Without interruption. But my mum, when I came out to her about 6 years ago, she said to me, look, John, you know, I think being gay is fine, everything else is fine, but it's just the up the arse business that I can't understand.
I know, and it's not an exclusively gay activity, one might add, you know, not perhaps in... this country, but in a lot of countries, it's used as a form of contraception, anal sex as an alternative.
True.
Oh, people don't really have to worry about it, do they?
No.
They can't. A lot of gay people don't like penetrative sex. Not obligatory.
No. Thank God. One of the things for me about you that was always attractive is you're such a strong symbol of individuality. So, yeah, whether you're going to be confronting or, like, wear bizarre outfits or be totally frank at times, it's that you have a strong identity as an individual. And for me, when I was thinking about coming out to my family in general, watching shows like Sticky Moments and seeing such an outrageous man on the screen and being well accepted by the audience and obviously with a great rating show, well, it was easy for me to come out as being a less spectacular homosexual and expect to get accepted.
Mm.
Mm. Do you find many other people like express that sort of appreciation to you?
I think it is much easier nowadays. Not for everybody, maybe. Depends what your family setup is like. But, you know, a few years back, people didn't know any homosexuals, and they would imagine that it was far more sinister and sordid than it really is. The answer is obviously for for everyone to come out, and then, you know, everyone will, again, it's a process of demystifying it. I think being an individual is important, whoever you are, really. It certainly has come to me from my time at school, which was, you know, it was a very repressive school, and you had to conform, and everyone had to be the same, have the same uniform, the same haircut, and so on. So it's, I've never quite got over that.
Right. With the Mardi Gras being like such a public event, there was a reviewer who actually reviewed your last show here and was rather unkind to Hugh Jelly, so I've got a beef against him for that. But this guy, in his article on Sunday, said, ah, it's an old line, but he brought out this business of a heterosexual Mardi Gras. What do you say to people who even suggest things like that?
Oh, it's just, well, they can have a heterosexual Mardi Gras, I think anyone would turn up to see it. I think everyone should do what they want, really, but I think the repercussions of the Sydney gay and lesbian Mardi Gras were sort of worldwide. It's such a joyous thing, and it's such a positive thing, that it's very hard to measure the good that it does, but it's world famous now, and it's such a sort of unique and entertaining thing. I can't imagine a heterosexual Mardi Gras being quite as theatrical, quite as interesting to watch, really.
Sure. My idea was more that heterosexual people are more able to celebrate the sexuality every single day of the year, let alone just
exactly.
One.
That is the point. They wouldn't really have any great motivation, I think, to party in that way.
Julian, you've been doing some stage acting as well in the few years since you've been here. And it's not panto. You've done some serious acting.
The Jean Genet play.
Right.
Well, so it's at the Lyric Theatre in Hammersmith. And Neil Bartlett asked me if I'd like to play this part. It was a strange thing because they discovered a Jean Genet play called Splendids, which had been locked away in a safe in Paris for 50 years or 40 years or whatever. And no one knew it existed, so it was like a premiere, you know, it was like a new work. And I never thought of doing anything like that, but seeing as he asked me, I thought, well, that'll make a change. And it was a very, very serious play all about death and power and so on, as Genet plays are. And I don't know how good I was in it, really. I think a lot of people would come and see it expecting me to be funny, so people would laugh at me anyway.
Right.
Conditioned to do that. And that was a bit annoying, you know, and I wanted to say, no, don't laugh, it's not supposed to be funny. So I felt like I was failing in some way if people laughed. But I did enjoy it, and I enjoyed working with other people, because you get very isolated doing the sort of shows I do, where you're by yourself all the time, or
right.
less by yourself. So it was a good experience.
That's great. Because I thought you were the saving of the Carry On Columbus film, of course. Like, you were the definitely the funniest person in it.
Oh.
And made the whole film worth watching.
I can't actually watch that film myself.
Yeah.
Even despite the joy of my own performance. I just find it a tedious film.
Okay. But, yeah, it's an assignment, I suppose. You can sit there in your resume for years to come.
It's the only film I've ever done or I'm ever likely to do. So, I enjoyed making it, so there it is, you know.
Right. This is not... maybe not an appropriate question to this interview, but while I was down in Sydney, I bought one of those Bellamy X-rated films with these beautiful boys, European boys, having sex. Mm-hmm. But the soundtrack was abysmal. So I spent 2 days putting my own soundtrack to it with things like Eurythmics and D-Val and B-52s.
All right.
And some Bronski Beat with I Feel Love.
Yeah.
Do you have, with any your song that you
stage
think
production
would be
this time,
ideal
is it just
you?
Do
you have you and film? The others there with you again?
No, I don't. This is a complete one-man show. Not really.
I do have held in the lesbian.
I wouldn't
in the room
have any pornography in the house.
Playing a little cameo role.
Don't approve of it, really.
Right.
Hugh Jelly is somewhere along the line.
Working in a play at the moment, so he's going to come.
And I don't think he's.
And he's also, as a point of interest, lost
very
all
healthy
of the
to watch
weight.
He's lost about 7 stone.
And then it's a bit radical.
This is voluntarily, I assume.
He's got into going to the gym and he changed his diet.
Available to them, whatever they want.
Personally, I can't watch.
You wouldn't recognise him now.
Pornographic film without bones and
worrying about how much money the actor's
got. But he's happy with this.
He's very happy. He's like that.
Born again, really.
Who's being exploited? Is it them?
Me. Because he's spent so many years being a fang-on person.
Certainly.
And, you know,
so,
being abused.
As for soundtrack, I'd walk down the road.
I'd sooner there wasn't any. I'd sooner hear
what it's like.
If I was really watching some crowd, I'd think rotting pleasure. I'd sooner. Now, Russell is
the noises that they're making.
We've just come back from Africa.
The real ones. Yeah, it's just the annoying part of this was overdubbed grunting.
So,
which
no,
I thought was rather silly.
Yes, I suppose if they're American and they're acting and being silly, then I wouldn't want to hear it. But this was European, was it?
Yes.
Poor German boys or something.
Yeah, they were mostly, I think, from Budapest.
I think. Well, they probably got 50 quid in a Mars bar for their trouble.
That's terrible. With your... there was an article in the Sunday Mail that actually mentioned a relationship that you had with Christopher that ended in 1992. And you were saying that like your shows tend to be more about like sex and such, and not so much about love. Do you find it easy, like several years on, to fall in love and to think about like another like full-time relationship?
Yes, I've fallen in love since Christopher died. I tend to go in sort of 5 or 6 year cycles. I fall in love sort of every 5 or 6 years. I like falling in love. I think it's very you live life in a sort of heightened way then. Depends, you know, how it progresses and what happens at the end as to whether it's worth that emotional investment. But I'm all for it, really. I think it's probably the meaning of life.
Yeah, that's great.
It doesn't feature in my show, you know.
That's fair. You have to have something private.
Yeah, quite.
Well, I'm really looking forward to the show. I'll be sort of fifth row centre.
Oh, lovely.
With no hair, so you find it easy to spot me.
Okay.
But one of the women who listens to Queer Radio and to our sister show, Dykes and Mikes, Kim, she said especially that she sends her love and she would have loved to have met you in person and tells you how much she loves your show and that she's really enjoyed your work in the past.
Oh, that's nice.
So she'll be there as well.
Okay.
And are there musical highlights to this?
There are. There's four songs. I do a Cliff Richard song. I do a sort of military song, a disco song, and a Supremes Motown classic.
Beautiful.
Yeah, a bit of variation.
Well, my love to you, Julian. I have had a great time chatting to you.
Good.
I look forward to seeing the show, and I hope that you continue to tour every few years into the future.
I will. I will. I enjoy it. I get withdrawal if I don't come to Australia every few years.
Great. One final item. Like Fanny, of course, was very old. Like 3 years ago when you were touring and she was incontinent and such. Is Fanny still alive?
Amazingly, she is.
Wow.
Every time I come away from home, I think I'll never see her again, but she staggers on. And she's been ever so ill lately with cystitis of all things. But she's alive and sort of well. She's alive and rolling around the grass somewhere in Swindon.
Isn't it beautiful?
So she's now 18, I think.
That's great.
Yeah.
We've got a dog here who's actually under the table who's 17 and a half. And, yeah, it's every day when he wakes up and comes to greet me and wags his tail, I know that he wants to be alive.
Yes, well, Fanny definitely does. I think she's going to hang on till I'm 40. She's got another couple of years to go.
Good on her.
We have an agreement.
Well, look after yourself, Julian, and have a great extra show down there. We'll see you next Tuesday.
See you then.
Bye, John.
All right, bye-bye.